Around Comics, Episode 85.
In and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman. I'm joined, as always, by the co-host of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Yo.
Adrian.
Yo.
No, just yo.
And Mr. Tom Caters.
If you can learn to like them, and I can learn to like you, maybe we can all learn to like each other.
But you need the Russian translator repeating.
Oh, that's right. The strategy,
living in
we're
America.
We're in Moscow, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Barry Tompkins.
Hey, we're in Moscow.
And we have our regular Monday guest. You know him as the host of Word Balloon. We know him as our good buddy, Mr. John Suntress.
Yeah, but look at them, Apollo. They ain't us no more. You know, we're like, I don't know, regular people.
I got living what you call America. Brain.
I love Rocky Balboa. The most recent movie.
It was good.
I thought it was excellent. I just love the Spider Rico references.
Absolutely.
That was fantastic.
I just like the fact that you could kind of forget about five.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. let you let go of that.
Yeah, it's like.
I love all the Rocky movies. Five's the worst.
Oh, five hurts.
It's bad. It's
five
bad.
Really
but I'll
hurts.
Even watch that one just because I.
Four, even though four is like 85% flashback sequences.
Oh, and like, still, and like still has music videos. Value.
Yeah. Did I say Joe Bob Briggs like really embarrassed me for enjoying the No Easy Way Out Robert Tepper video montage where Rocky's like
in the Lamborghini.
Yes,
like,
without indestructible. That whole thing. I'm watching it on the night of Christmas Day. Not Christmas Eve, but Christmas Day night.
Oh, wow.
And Joe Bob Briggs is hosting on TNT and they're showing it. And he's like, they just do the whole video montage and everything. And I love it because it's this great celebration of all those great fight scenes in all the Rocky movies and Apollo and Rocky's friendship and they're hugging and everything's great. And he's like, it's Rocky IV.
Sucks.
Probably the most homoerotic moment of all the Rocky movies. Oh, I am pounding the floor laughing my ass off. And I'm like, dude, you have ruined that moment for me forever. But I'm laughing my ass and it still makes me laugh.
You What's your favorite Rocky movie?
You know, I of course the first is great, but I really love two because it was a great way to retell Rod Serling's Requiem for a Heavyweight. What happens when you get that close to your dream and fail? What happens with chapter two of your life when... Well,
one,
you
one
came close, but
favorite.
you know you didn't become a champion. You know?
One is still my favorite.
So, one's a classic. Tarantino claims that it was Rocky and it winning Best Picture that turned the 70s around from the harsh reality of all those great early 70s movies to
happy endings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Literally, that simple. It's people want happy endings.
And so, I was like, Rocky okay, ruined modern film.
Kind of.
Well,
you know,
that and Jaws.
It certainly created.
Yes.
Jaws created the summer blockbuster.
Well, that's what.
Well, and
oh, yeah, you're right.
And Rocky ushered in again a
formula
new
films.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you saw so many films follow that sort of same story archetype.
Are we a
welcome to the Crankcast.
Yeah,
good Lord.
No, I like it. Yeah,
the
exactly
usual beginning part where we ramble.
Well,
we did it again.
Wink, wink.
This is one of our.
I just do one more thing about with Rocky IV. I still do love the Apollo comeback. The Living
it's
in America was
my
I
girlfriend.
Love that scene.
My
I
girlfriend
love
has
that
never seen a Rocky movie, and one day it was on demand, and I was watching Rocky IV. She walked into the room as I'm like sitting there watching that part, and she's like, "What the fuck is this?" I'm like, "It's Rocky IV, and it's the part where he living in." And she's like, "This is Rocky," and I'm like, "No, watch the first one. You like the first one."
It's Dolph Lundgren's funniest moment when he's just like,
"What
is going on?"
I will. If he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies.
But she watched the
first one. It's like they'd be like more cunning. Good, make fun of us because we're Russian. We go.
Well, folks, this is one of our news and reviews episodes, and we're going to get to all of that in just a couple moments. But first, I'd like to let you know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Borders.
Your heart pounds, your palms sweat, the tension is nearly unbearable. And then you spot it, that graphic novel you've been searching for everywhere, right here in your local Borders. Borders has thousands of manga and graphic novels. In fact, you'll find exactly what you're looking for and discover unexpected new authors and series simply by visiting Borders. Save on your favorite books, manga, and more. Click on the Borders banner at the Around Comics website for a 20% off coupon. Check Borders first. Find a store near you at www.borderstores.com or use the Borders store locator at aroundcomics.com.
Thank you again fine folks at Borders. No, this is not the Rocky.
Come on, Rocky.
Just want to let everyone know that Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. Not the Rocky cast.
Doing it in front of not only this crowd, but the Russian premiere and so many Moscow people looking on.
No, it's located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago.
I turn your mic
off. You are in
the We're talking Rocky, baby.
You know, once we started talking Rocky, I knew that it was just going to go downhill because you get Suntress and Sal in the same room. They can talk about boxing for 5 hours. And then we'll talk about Silver Age DC, and it'll be Suntress and Tom.
Weren't you glad I wasn't in here last week, be honest.
Yeah, there was a little bit. Silver Age Rocky.
There is.
Silver Age Rocky.
Rocky is the
Wildcat. That is Silver
It's
Age
fucking
Rocky.
True. He's
Ted Grant.
He's Rick, or not Rick, what's his name?
Ted Grant?
No. The Irish...
Jack Murdoch?
Yeah, no. The real boxer.
Marciano?
The Irish. Jerry Cooney? Jerry Cooney?
No.
Jack Dempsey?
Before that.
Satan?
They just made a movie about him.
Jim
Cinderella Man.
Braddock.
Yeah,
Braddock.
Jim Braddock.
There
yeah,
you go.
The great Jim Braddock.
Sorry.
Right. Who can forget when he took Joe Louis on and knocked him down in the first round, only to go down in the eighth himself.
Jim Braddock punched a Jesus in the face.
Just for looking at him, funny. What are you looking at, Holy Father?
And then they shared a pint.
Can I finally get in my favorite Rocky line, though?
God, please.
I'll end it.
You know, we need Chris Crank here, because really then we
would
have
we would have the Rocky.
Go ahead.
Rocky 3.
Yes.
Before the, that's my favorite. What's your prediction for the fight, Clubber? Pain. That's the greatest line ever by a boxer in a movie. Come on!
Balboa was a great fighter, but his time has passed. I wish him luck.
Hey, woman!
That's right.
Well, once again, come into Dark Tower for all of your comics and collectibles.
Sorry.
All right, folks.
Clubber
Lang,
man.
It is time for Wire to Wire comic book news.
There's one thing I want you to do for me.
What?
Come here.
What?
Win. Win.
What are we waiting for? Take this!
Distribution market. It is D to D.
Why are you so down?
There's a new player.
He was giving you your David Brinkley.
You sound depressed. I'm worried.
No,
about
it's been it's
comics market.
It's been so loud in here that I'm a little shell shocked.
Oh,
you'll know when you hear Thursday's show. It was raucous.
It was a ruckus.
There was like 20 people. It was a raucous ruckus, and it was very loud, and I'm a little shell-shocked
right now.
Anyway, Top Cow. IGN Entertainment, a unit of Fox and Interactive Media, announced that Direct2Drive.com, digital retail store, has launched the web's first independent download-to-own comic book store, and it will begin selling comic book titles from Top Cow Productions. Mm.
If you go to DirectToDrive.com. A lot of
things debatable on this.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, independent dealy.
Also, the first the word own, I think, might be
download
slightly
direct to own. Yeah, well, that's the thing. I went to the site after I read it. It's a DR. There's DRM. There's digital rights management software installed. You download a PDF file.
Right.
But it can own there's some sort of other software you have to download to read it along with it, and it can only be installed on
the
original
computer that
you download it to and run the software on. Even if your computer crashes and you have to reinstall the software,
it won't run.
You're not going to have to run it. You're not going to be able to run it again. So only like the one computer you run it on, the first one.
What is the selling point number one of
complete bullshit
PDF?
It's portable
document format. And what is the other selling point about PDF? Is that you can read it on any Acrobat reader on
any
operating
system?
Every system is bundled with some.
What is the worst thing that you could possibly do when trying to launch a new, fairly alien system?
Offer overpriced Witchblade comics that you can't read on any.
This is more expensive and harder to read than just buying the book.
Yeah,
which is like defeats the purpose. I would just go get the book.
Wow. Here's hoop number two. Here's hoop number three. You need to jump through all these hoops before you can read this in a way that you're not used to reading them. And then you know what? You can't read
They're $1.99.
Yeah.
$1.99 for like Midnight Nation number one.
We're usually,
which I could go and probably find in a quarter bin right now.
Probably.
I checked it online today. You can buy at Amazon or, you know, any InStockTrades.com. You can buy at any online retailer Midnight Nation, the complete trade, for less than you can download the single issues. Now, I don't want to rag on this too bad, because we usually try and celebrate comics and shine a bright light on what is good about this, but
they
missed
the point.
If there was 9 out of 10 things that you could screw up They've done every one of them.
Congratulations, Joe.
You look at something like, you compare this to like Pullbox Online.
Pullboxonline.com has it figured out.
I'm blanking. The guy in charge of Top Cow. Matt.
Mark Silvestri?
No, not Mark Silvestri. Matt something, I thought. He's always seemed like a guy, yeah.
Is it the guy that does Silvestri's backgrounds?
No. They produced that great DVD. You know, it happens every Wednesday, or we're looking forward to every, you know, Countdown to Wednesday.
Yeah.
And it was all about the comic book business. I mean, he's a really smart guy, and he's a really smart business guy, and I like a lot of Top Cow products. This is a bad move. I mean, that's my point. I'm really disappointed.
Well, this is what I think started a lot of this, is that I don't know if it's the business model, whatever, the delivery system at IGN, it really seems that it was built to sell video games.
Yeah, it makes sense, because
they're taking, well, this is how we sell video games, so let's use the same exact way, and we'll sell comic books.
Yeah, you need a different price point.
Yeah, it's, you know, $2 for a digital comic, for comics that, you know, and they say they have to be over a year old. I'm sorry, but a Top Cow book, especially a Top Cow book, I'm sorry, but a Top Cow book that's a year old, you can find it at a dollar bin.
Now you have to download them to your computer, so you can't download them to like a PSP or something like that.
No.
Can you, Sally?
Maybe.
It's debatable because
you also have to download the application.
Yeah, you have to. It seems like you have to download some sort of application. I didn't actually download anything in person,
but
it seems like you have to download some sort of application
in
conjunction with Acrobat Reader.
It
may be that they have their own Acrobat Reader that you have to use to read it, and you can only install that Acrobat. I think that might be how it works.
Which is so counter to what Reader is about to begin with.
Oh, get off your Adobe high horse.
climb off that
No,
Adobe.
It's just, you know... It's a misstep
that can be corrected.
It can, but the problem I see with it, the biggest issue I have with it, is that they're the first like major
publisher
to mm-hmm. go and do this, and now it's wrong.
You're doing it wrong.
And now it's just going to be, okay, is that the model everybody else is going to follow?
I don't think so.
I hope not. I certainly hope not.
I think it's
going
to fall pretty flat. I can't imagine too many people doing this.
No.
I wouldn't even do it to try it out. Whenever we found out about pullboxonwine.com, the first thing I did was like, oh, a buck? Yeah, okay, fine. I went, tried it out, worked like a dream, and I was like, yeah, this is great. I wouldn't, you know, it's like, no, I'm not even going to spend the
$2. What works against us the most is that people that are going to buy comics online are probably more savvy price-wise, perhaps, than the average comic reader, and people aren't, and $1.99 for that, like, I'm not going to drop it. I'll drop 99 cents on something because I will fall for all the traps that a usual, you know, you know, price points.
Well, it's the iTunes model, and people will say, well, you know, iTunes has a DRM, basically, with the M4A, but you can still authorize 5 computers five devices to play an iTunes song, and which, you know, helps a little bit. I'm still not a big fan of the M4A, but this takes it to a step that just,
it's like,
for
that
me,
old Flash comic, you know, the old Flash based comics where it was like,
yes,
you have to go to the website and you have to read it this is how you have to read it, is doing it this way. And that's the worst possible way to distribute something like
that. And again, because the final destination of digital comics, where it's going to be for a reader, is it going to be a handheld device? What is it going to look like? Is it going to look like a BlackBerry? Is it going to look like a book tablet of some sort? It isn't there yet. So to force people into this very specific thing, there were so many forerunners of the MP3 mm-hmm. that you know, didn't make
right.
it. You know, Sony had its proprietary format that was like MP3, and I can't remember the name of it.
Oh,
right
and it failed.
And they all failed.
There's a reason you can't remember it.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's the Betamax versus VHS argument.
What I think is funny is that they will say, well, you can still print it out. I'm like, okay. Yeah, so I'm going to download it for $2, and then I'm going to spend $2 in ink and paper.
$2? That's nothing.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. I might download it at work because I have a high-speed internet connection, but I don't want to read it. At work, I want to read it when I'm at home.
Right.
But I can't transfer it to my home computer. I can't transfer it to a portable reader.
And on iTunes, once a year, you can deauthorize all your computers and start from scratch.
Yeah.
So
it just doesn't seem like it was very well thought out. It seems like it's.
I don't know. It's
a first misstep. It'll easily be corrected whenever the actual accepted format and delivery system is finally in place. But I don't think they've done themselves very many favors with this first step.
Yeah. So,
sorry, Director Drive.
All right, let's move on.
You failed.
Let's move on to some pleasant news, and that would be Runaways. Runaways has been nominated for a Peach Award.
Nice.
Which is
Georgia Peach.
Yeah. Which it's good because if it wins,
Peach Awards
becomes required reading in the state of Georgia.
Georgia school system.
Well, that's cool because I have a cousin who's actually 12 who is reading Runaways.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Who got the digest.
How did he or she get the digest?
I was home, like, you know, for one night. And she was
forced to read it.
No, she was
sure,
reading
you
it.
Would like
no,
this
it
book.
Was completely independent. Like, I've never talked to her about comic books because it was never.
Right.
I mean, like, why would I talk to my 12-year-old cousin about comic books? And she was like, oh, she was reading Runaways, and I was what was I reading? I was reading America versus the Justice Society, and we were like sitting in the living room, like, and I was like reading, and she was reading. I'm like, Runaways is pretty good, and she's like, how's that? And she's like, is that complicated? And I'm like. Yeah, a little bit.
It's a little over your head.
America versus the Justice.
Yeah,
you know, I was at my sister's house, and my niece was there, and she was. It was like a Thursday night or something, and my sister was telling her she had to do her homework, and so she goes into her little backpack and she pulls out a manga book. I don't remember what it was. It was like, I can't even remember what it was. And I was like, what are you reading? What is that? And she's like, oh, I'm doing a book report on it. And she's like,
that's
nine,
great.
Yeah. You know, or something. You know? I'm like, how cool is that? She's reading, you know, but she doesn't even. The weird thing was, like, she doesn't even associate that
with comics.
Yes,
sure.
With, like, what, you know what I mean?
It's illustrated literature.
Yeah, it's like a completely different.
Maybe she'll pick up the Minx stuff, so that'll be it.
maybe.
Are we starting to see why maybe Runaways was put in that digest format that looks oddly similar to a manga?
But you know what's weird is Irredeemable Ant-Man's coming out in the digest.
Was Runaways a tsunami?
Yeah.
Title. Was Runaways one of the tsunami books
originally?
No,
it wasn't. Okay.
Oh,
I was curious.
It looks like it should have been
because, when you said that, because that's certainly what the tsunami line was really intended, I think, to do is
right
emulate,
cross that.
Yeah, emulate yeah. manga and exactly.
Have you guys picked up the hardcovers on those
Runaways?
Yeah,
my old boss did. Dave Olson.
You know, I've got all the single issues, and I'm thinking about trading in on those hardcovers because they look pretty.
Yeah, they're beautiful. They really are.
My cousin was loving it. I was like, you should check out Why the Last Man.
Well, for 12-year-old?
12-year-old.
I didn't say that. You should check out
Pride of Baghdad. Yeah, there's a really great...
It's going to blow your fucking mind. Wait till you get older. There's some Brian K. Vaughan
stuff.
And Ex
Machina, man.
Yeah. Smoking weed's okay.
Exactly. You're lighting up a J at the end of that episode,
like, when
man.
You get a little bit older, there's some more Brian K. Vaughan stuff for you.
Another... I have my nephew, who's older. He's like 20. I think he just turned 20. And he, I've talked to him about him a couple of times on the show, where he loves all the comic book movies. He has posters of, like, Sin City stuff on his walls, but he doesn't read comics. But, like, a month ago, he was over for something, and I go down to the basement, and I caught him, like, flipping through a trade from my bookshelf. I'm like,
gotcha, I got you, asshole.
Which book was it?
I think it was another Frank Miller book.
Groening or something?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it was. Or no. What the heck was it?
Give Me Liberty?
No, I don't remember.
Secret Wars.
No.
Dude.
I honestly don't remember what it was. I'm not sure what... I can't remember. But I just thought that was kind of...
Absolutely.
Kinda
nice.
He's
nice.
Getting interested, so...
Well, it'll be great to see, as the press release says, Runaways in the hands of thousands of Georgia teenagers.
Would that continue with Whedon's run and whoever follows him on Runaways?
I'm sure it would probably be the first digest.
This was the first hardcover that actually won.
It was the first hardcover.
Cool.
Wow, which the hardcover is what, the first 18
issues?
That's what's nominated as the first hardcover.
Wow, outstanding.
Oh, it's awesome that it was even nominated, I think, is incredible that's even in the running to be.
Well, I think that book would talk to a lot of teen. Readers.
So
that's great. Well, you know what else is great?
Eric
Powell is coming back to the Goon.
Ooh, he's doing a bunch of awesome stuff coming up. I'm really looking forward to seeing.
The Goon is, I think, one of the really great comics out there that I don't think enough people are reading. If you have a chance, pick up Goon Volume 1. It has a great 50s, you know, EC sensibility.
I'd even say it harkens back to, like, EC Seeger and Popeye and stuff like that. I mean, it's really got that.
It draws on a lot of stuff,
it's funny, and there's Will Eisner in there, there's Seeger in there, there's so many interesting influences.
I can see why people may not that they wouldn't like it, but, like, would be put back by it, because it's almost, in a weird way, intimidating, because it's, like, so...
In its simplicity?
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's, like, so simple and fun, yet it seems like there's so much more there. Yeah.
But there is.
Well, I know, but that's great. But I think I could see where people would be kind of intimidated by it.
You can
it's
read
like,
that book on so
wait a minute,
many levels.
Am I missing something?
There's
am
Kirby,
I, you know,
Jack Kirby in there? I mean,
there's so much good stuff in it. But
I mean, there's actually a great story running through the entire Goon series, you know, of how he became the Goon.
And he's also doing the Bizarro.
Bizarro issues
with Johns and Donner, which I think
that'll be good.
Him doing Bizarro, just when I heard it, I was like, that just like I was saying earlier, any great idea, the first time you hear it, you're like, yeah, why the fuck hasn't?
Why hasn't he done
that? That's worse. But anyway, look for the return of the Goon on July 11th from Dark Horse.
Hey, did you hear Cap's back?
Oh,
but he's different.
He has guns.
He has pistols and big machine guns and grenades,
triggerless
goggles,
that looks like
and
a
skull
gun.
Yes,
yeah.
Punisher gun. War Journal number 7 is going to see the Punisher in a slightly different costume.
I was wondering what he was doing that mask he picked up at the end of Civil War 7.
Mm. But that's not the mask. I'm not
technically,
he put it in. He put it in Mylar.
I don't see any chainmail.
It's on eBay.
In Mylar.
He put it on eBay.
He slabbed it.
He slabbed it, dude. He slabbed it.
This is kind of interesting. I mean, you know, it's like when we talked to Ed Brubaker last week, he's like, well, you're not going to see a bunch of variations, I mean, a bunch of characters running around in variations of Cap's costume, you know,
except
Punisher, which we already kind of found out about, but... it'll be interesting, and I think, Tom, you had talked about this, is like, it's all going to depend on how Fraction writes Punisher.
Because I said this, if you explained this to me and said, did not tell me anything about who's writing it and showed me a picture of it, I would say, this is
the worst
this
I've
is
ever...
stupid. But then you tell me Matt Fraction's writing it, and he has that sense of humor that I think can pull it off. It's not going to be like... This is serious. New Cap.
I'm doing this to bring honor back to Captain America.
Right, but
this is, you know,
it's going
to
be the joke that
right,
it
the irony
be.
Exactly the irony behind it and everything and just the idea.
Everybody's
audacity that
everybody's in on the joke except Frank Castle.
Except Frank Castle.
Yeah, that's where, you know. Hopefully. I mean, I think that's what it's going to be. But
well, yeah, and when I talked to Matt, I asked him about that and what he was going to try and do with the Punisher, and I'm like, does he know he's crazy or like? And he's like, no, you know, obviously Frank thinks he's the sanest man in the room.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing about him. And it's great having a nut like Fraction writing this guy because it's
Frank's
like
a fucking nut.
Right. And it's like Fraction can easily climb in that head and like look around and say, oh, yeah,
I'm right there with you, Frank.
You know, exactly.
I don't like the Punisher, and I've loved Punisher War Journal so far. I've loved every issue.
I'm pleased how much I enjoy both books because I love Ennis's and
I
love the gritty, straight noir kind of tough man Punisher book that he writes. But yeah, Fraction, I was worried about this War Journal until I heard Matt was going to be on it. And yeah, Matt succeeded my expectation.
This is Gene Colan, and you are listening to Around Comics.
Frank Cho put boobs.
Why is
it?
Why is it every robot that comes back has to be female?
Is
you had
Ultimate Vision.
I fanboyed Tom about this a while ago. Why would a robot
have
even
breasts?
Go back to Fritz Lang. I mean, really, go back to Fritz Lang and Metropolis. I mean, this really is a science fiction iconic.
Yeah. You know why Ultron has boobs? Because Frank Cho is drawing this.
Hot?
It's just weird. I don't know. It's like half
dude,
flesh.
Dude, Herbie's
half...
got a rack.
Yeah.
Dude, Herbie's stacked, man.
I don't.
Franklin's got a little wood over Herbie. What Reed did with Herbie.
It almost, you know, in a weird way, I think like the people that are
doing this
are like thinking that they're trying to be politically correct. And like, oh, well, you know, they can come. Why couldn't an android be a woman? Why would it have to be a man? But then they draw it like.
How many times have you seen male robot? I mean, it's no different than.
An androgynous robot like the one in Agents of Atlas. You don't know what that's got. No, it's just a box.
The Great X fucking robot.
That's a fucking robot.
I want a robot to look like a Warlord Sir jukebox.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't want to have no sex.
I just imagine like Hank Pym looking at this version of Ultron going, oh,
gotta fuck
why not the first time?
Dude, I'm going to hit
that. Are you kidding? Yeah, exactly. I think that may happen. I think you're going to see, like, Henry, like, getting down with Ultron.
Speaking of smart, there's a very smart comic out there called Rex Libris, and it is coming to trade.
I love Rex Libris.
I love it, too. I think it's great.
The commentary in those first couple issues were so much fun, and I was very bummed when he abandoned that.
It's a fun, dense sort of read for... I just think you get your money's worth.
I have to give credit where credit's due. The first person that mentioned this as a top of the stack was Dave Wachter.
Yeah.
Way
he got me
back
turned on to it.
Yeah, issue one. And I think you were talking the DVD track.
Yes, exactly.
What really set this apart.
Yes, I felt the same way.
It's you get your money's worth. You get your money's worth. You also get a lot of sort of, I don't know, classical humor, I guess, sort of jokes about sort of ancient Greek thought, you know, whatever they're talking about in that issue, you get sort of jokes about that.
The other thing too is it was a throwback to books like Mr. X from the 80s where Dean Motter was doing such an interesting and different it was the 80s were just kind of, you know, that time of black and white comics when things were, you know, different
I think it was
different sensibilities.
it's got such a sort of, it's dense but inclusive, which I think is something that a lot of books sometimes, like when you get a really dense book,
well, the commentary can also be
sort of, yeah, the commentary, because the commentary will draw you in if you don't know all the jokes. It explains
right.
the jokes, but not in a bad way. It's not like, I just told you a joke, now let me tell it to you, and I'm going to take all the humor out of it.
No,
it's like, join in on the joke.
Yeah, and it kind of gave it a Mad Magazine kind of feel to it, too, where it was just like, hey, we're all having a good time here, and, you know, this is, it just kind of
explains. It's a fun, smart, independent comic, so definitely check it out if you have a chance. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Eastman put these up for auction on eBay.
I would buy it if I had a lot of money. But
they went for $2.50, the entire issue.
$250,000.
Oh, gosh. Hey,
that
was just there.
That fucking is fucking
quarter,
amazing.
Quarter of $1 million for the art to the first issue of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
And then the movie came out this week, and that made a bazillion dollars.
You know,
I don't even know what the numbers were.
I think it's
that,
the coolest success story. One of the coolest success stories
in comics. I love
that
those guys were so successful.
Exactly.
The only thing that bothers me is that they were so successful that they stopped doing any comics. That's the only thing that drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Because I thought.
But then again, what Kevin Eastman did was directed his attention to heavy metal and continues to churn out heavy metal, which very quietly and in an unsung fashion still puts out very interesting material. It's not consistently great.
I
kind of
feel
great,
like
yeah.
I feel like what
Eastman
and those guys did. I think
Peter Laird.
Yeah, Eastman and Laird. What they did is when you read those original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles books, have such a singular vision. When you read them, that they're obviously a joke on Daredevil, but obviously really great books in and of themselves. And I kind of think, and I'm sure there's someone who's a huge Image Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan, but I think when they left, that was sort of the end of that singular vision of how that book was going to be, and then everything after that has been.
Well, you have to remember, too, immediately after like the first five or six issues, you had unwieldy radioactive hamsters, and you have all the black
which is
white
coming
knockoffs.
Back.
The hamsters are coming back,
by
the way.
They are. Of course
Dynamite,
they are.
Yeah.
I'm from the generation that, you know, read the black and whites and were laughing with Laird and Eastman.
Oh, sure.
And then, at first, I have to say, I'm sure we were all disappointed when it became the Saturday morning cartoon. But now I think a bunch of us are laughing with them again in terms of their success, and that they were able to take this edgy satire and turn it into
I want to swim in the big swimming pool filled with money with them. That they've
well,
made,
the thing was,
know?
I but first got introduced. I first got introduced to it through the cartoons. And when I was a kid, and I loved the cartoons, and I found out it was a comic book, and I went back, and I found...
You found the originals?
And I was like, oh, this is really great. And I was like, it's not always necessarily a horrible thing to get...
Oh, I know.
Yeah, and it always sort of works in an interesting way.
Because it was like, oh, man, these are, like, cool and great.
No, but I know
it,
yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is crap, but no, you're right. Then
they
you came through it the
They
other
always
way.
Exist. They will still always
exist.
And you can always find
them. Which is amazing. I mean, don't forget the Zarek Foundation that Laird and Eastman contribute to that allows...
I got nothing. I have...
Oh, I'm just saying that, like, this is...
I don't... I have no bad feelings towards...
Oh,
no, when you're saying...
The only thing I wish is that they had continued to
do
the comics,
right,
but they do more. Yeah.
Wait, you think about that original cast, and you know how many comics from? I mean, these are 20 years old now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
more than that, actually, going on 25.
Comics that are 20 years old, and I still vividly remember Casey Jones and Splinter and Turtles. Even though we couldn't name them,
with what their weapons were
on that one.
The books when I went to go read them, the old back issues, the thing that impresses me even more, I think, than the sort of gritty realism is also the mixture of the weird, like getting teleported to a world of Triceratops. You know, like but that fits in within it, and you can do all that. And I think all those. You know, old stuff which should be reprinted.
Did you ever read Fugitoid?
I downloaded it.
My copy of Fugitoid, and it's the big oversized.
I have it somewhere, I think.
You know, another career that came from these guys was Paul Jenkins' career.
Sure, he was the editor at TMNT.
I think started off as a waiter who knew them because they
used to
go to the restaurant around the corner. And he just was looking for a job and literally came in as an office guy and learned the business of comics. And, you know, you got to hand it to Laird and Eastman.
The most touching story about comic books like that I'd ever heard in my life, the first time I ever met. I won't retell the story, but ask him if you ever run into him at a con. Yeah, and he's got some interesting stories about those days.
Blair Neesman. Yeah, I bet. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, I mean, they suddenly found themselves in the midst of this empire that they couldn't run themselves anymore, and they had to hire people to help them out. Paul Jenkins was one of them. Pretty wild.
So good.
Go
for
find
them.
Those old issues. Yes. Go find the phone book reprints.
Yeah, and if you have a spare $250,000, you can
buy the original.
Hey, it's time for the mid-show announcements. Dun, dun, dun.
Right, so do we have any other news we want to go over?
There
were a few other stories there were a few.
And Andy Diggle is doing Green Arrow Year One.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's going to be with Jock.
I'm looking forward to that.
I also saw that Milligan had an interview on Comic Book Resources about Infinity Inc., which I didn't quite pick it up exactly. At first, I was like, wait, I really like Ecstatics, and Milligan's going to be writing Infinity Inc., and he has that same sort of opportunity to take these characters and sort of do a humorous, like, he could do whatever he wants.
Oh, that's interesting, because I almost took it more from the Human Target, Peter Milligan, to say...
But, I mean, that's a guy Milligan.
Yeah, and that's... I almost looked at it in the same way that I think John Stewart became an interesting character when Mosaic was created, and DC, like, let the... And I can't even remember the writers.
Gerard Jones.
Thank you.
Yep.
It was Gerard Jones. I just think it's an opportunity for John Irons to be a very interesting character on his own, and that's something that hasn't happened since his
Milligan
you know,
can do
inception.
Whatever he's done everything, so
he's
he
a great
do anything.
I'm a huge, huge fan of his.
David Hein is re-releasing Strange Embrace.
Really enjoyed Hein's
Spawn.
I've liked his Marvel stuff.
Mutant X.
Silent War, Mutant X.
Was it Mutant X? Yeah, I love Mutant X and Utopia. I thought those were the best Bishop's ever been. For me,
I'm looking for
District X.
District X, thank you.
Mutant X was the really bad TV show.
Thank you, District X. Shaken worked on that very bad show, but oh well.
G.I. Joe announced the 25th anniversary issue of G.I. Joe.
Go
Dog Snuff finally shows up.
Dog Snuff, no Dog Snuff.
The Larry Hama.
But they're doing interesting sort of Devil's Due is doing a 25th anniversary issue.
Celebrating the tiny action figures.
They're doing an interesting character contest.
Joe died for me whenever they went from the 12-inch action figure.
They're going to be releasing portions of the cover to G.I. Joe America's Elite number 25, containing all 233 members of the G.I. Joe team. And then they're dividing the cover into six sections, which are going to be revealed on different websites. And you can go there and guess like who are you know you have
Joe's
to name
cock.
You have to name all the different characters and you can win a gift pack. So some interesting stuff about G.I. Joe coming out of DEP. What else is going on in the news? Quentin Tarantino is coming to Jim Hanley's universe in New York.
He will show up at your place and shove you.
I don't think he's that.
I'm looking forward to Grindhouse. I don't know about the rest of you.
Oh,
boys.
I think it's crazy. It's
man.
Either going to be like
a
big pile of crap
wreck.
Or the greatest movie ever made.
Just like every Grindhouse movie of its original.
You know what
era,
I just watched this weekend?
Tell me.
I watched both parts of Kill Bill, which I haven't seen since I was in the theater. I was like, wow, that was a really good two-part movie that I think.
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah. At the time, I enjoyed it, and then I watched them back to back, and I was like, wow, that was really
love
good.
That movie.
I can't believe it hasn't come out yet on DVD as one volume yet. As one film.
As one complete.
That's a lot of. That's
well,
a lot
it was
of
written
that,
that
was
way,
intent.
But yeah,
that
it was. It was
intent.
Just too damn long. Dynamite Entertainment announced that they had reached an agreement with creator Don Chin to begin publishing a new comic book series and collections and collectibles featuring the adolescent radioactive Black Belt Hamsters.
Oh, God. See, I thought you were going to mention the other Dynamite deal that brings back a wonderful icon that... And I wanted to bring this up, and
which
actually
one?
This is a good time to do it with Top of the Stack as well, because it's a current
Annie,
television show that is not getting very much talk. And, you know, maybe we need to go to Los Comiquicos or somebody. But the telenovela of Zorro. Dynamite's
pretty cool. Oh, we talked about this last week.
Oh, I'm so sorry that I missed that, boys.
No, because I just saw the ads.
Have you watched it yet at all?
No.
I have seen episodes. And I got to tell you.
Is it good?
I like it.
Oh, fuck.
I'm
going to TiVo it now, dude.
It's totally Spanish. It's totally a telenovela. But... It works,
really?
And it's
there's been
cool.
ads all over my
it's cool.
all over Logan Square.
It's on all the buses in Albany Park.
Telemundo, right?
Yeah,
it's on Thursday nights. And if you're listening to on Thursday morning, trying to remember to listen Thursday night, to watch Thursday night, watch El Zorro. And El Zorro. In the Midwest, at least, you know, in Chicago, it's on.
But it's only in Chicago in the Midwest.
No, is it? I don't know. Well, yeah, I'm saying I don't know where Telemundo.
I've never been anywhere else in the Midwest that's at Telemundo.
Okay, well, only in Chicago. Telemundo's a cable network as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you might get it on some.
You probably can get it.
I would assume it is. Or maybe it's on Gala or whatever.
You might
check
not get it in St. Louis, but
I can't find Zorro nowhere.
I don't think it's going to be in Marion, Illinois.
I'm sure Honolulu's not showing Zorro either, but I got to tell you. Or Australia. I really look forward and hope that some sort of DVD collection is going to be. I don't know how long this thing's going to run, but it's fun.
And Dynamite is doing.
They're doing new Zorro stories. They're doing new Zorro comic stories. Yeah. And Moonstone is doing new Zorro prose stories. Moonstone books who do the Phantom and so many other pulp characters. So Zorro is really enjoying a nice little comeback despite the failure of that Banderas.
One of the stories, speaking of, I think it was IDW last week that we got confused because they were doing the... I don't know what the hell they were doing, but I knew they were doing something else, and I couldn't remember last week. But it was Little Orphan Annie. They're doing
really,
yeah. They're doing like the collected.
They're doing the old strips. Well,
yeah, yeah. They're collecting. They're doing classic. They're collecting the old.
Well, like Tracy.
Doing Dick Tracy, Little Orphan Annie, and then one other one. Classic strip.
Terry and the Pirates.
That's
funny because all three of them were Tribune. They were all Tribune syndicated things. So yeah, they're doing all three of those.
Not Kenneth.
You know, we missed last year. It was the in 2006. It was the 75th anniversary of Dick Tracy.
Damn it!
And
assholes.
Well, Tribune was planning on rebooting and mm-hmm. giving
Re-running
us a modern
a
take
new
on
Dick
Tracy.
Really?
I want a new Dick.
What's wrong with the
fresh
old
Dick?
Well, I think because it was nice for its time with the 1930s and gangsters, but they wanted to do kind of a modern playing clothes.
Speaking of Dick,
Law and Order Dick Tracy. And the thing that stopped him was Warren Beatty, because he still has an option
for
Disney movie. And
what did you guys?
Like,
I was going to bring that movie up. What did you guys think of that movie?
I like the Dick Tracy.
I thought it was
I think it's a very.
It's one of the better comic book adaptations of
Beatty's.
Max Collins was a consultant on that movie and really was responsible for bringing a lot of those great cameos of. Well, you got to have Flyface. Well, you got to have this.
Right,
you got to have this guy and everything.
And he did. They had everything. I mean, they
got to have Shaky in there. You got to have the mole in there.
I haven't watched good
stuff.
In such a long
Teenage
time.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first movie, was actually a pretty good adaptation of the silly.
Right. Hey, listen, man.
Hey, man, don't get too down on kid stuff.
Yeah, I like the original.
What I love is that Kevin Eastman has not changed in Back to Our Final Story.
His hair?
Pretty much. He looks like the same biker dude he did 20 years ago came up with this, and I love that about him. I think that's cool.
That'll take care of our news. We want to let everyone know about the Around Comics Hotline. Sal?
1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call, leave us a voicemail, we'll play it on the show.
Like this.
Hey guys, guess what I did on the weekend? I went to go see the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. You know, TMNT. That was okay. You know, it wasn't perfect. Nothing to really jerk off to, but it was okay. You know, it was pretty... Hello, Paul Tunbury, 111. Paul Tunbury. Hello, Paul Tunbury. Yes, may I speak to a man? A man named... Warren Ellis. Let's see. What was on the menu today? I would assume it would have been. Hey, how's it going, everybody? It's just me out here in Radio Land to say howdy hey! Tonight has not been a pleasant night for me. Things happen. My death. For all eternity. Corporate sponsors don't tell me what to do. Trying to tone it down during the interview. Trying to minimize the message, but I'm keeping it large. I love the place I live, but I hate the people in charge. Speaking is hard when you got strings attached. So I'll say it for you because I got none of that. A man with no friends, only live for revenge. Living life on the edge, cut through 1,000 pence.
What the fuck was that?
All right, I'm sorry. I had a lot of acid that night, yeah. And I just had to call you guys.
I think he should email me directly with his problem.
You should be careful what you wish for, my friend.
Tom Kidder is at tom@aroundcomics.com. I think he's a visionary. I think Grant Morrison. This is a message Grant Morrison would have left.
Maybe it was Grant
years
ago. I saw him on Deaf
that
Poetry Jam.
Grant Morrison.
I saw him on Deaf Poetry Jam.
Yeah,
he's amazing.
Exactly. He's all over the place.
I'm not sure what that was supposed to be, but thank you anyway.
Thanks for mentioning.
Have another voicemail from him that I think we'll play next week.
His message was actually 25 minutes later. Borders, when they heard it, came to us and said, "You have to cut it down to the tightest." 45 seconds or a minute. And then we were like, well, we can't because we're artists.
That was the cherry.
Yeah, we're artists. That was the plum. And they said, fuck you. And so we bowed because they pay for us to have nothing. So that was how it worked out.
So they pay our gas. And please send in more voicemails.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
I challenge you, sir.
Oh, God. Tom, why are you poking the bear?
We'll outlast him.
I don't know if I can.
He can't keep this up.
All right.
So anyone else that would like to send in a voice comment, we definitely encourage that.
No matter how insane it sounds.
We'll play whatever. No matter
what you think of our corporate whoreship.
Whoreship. Is that what he said?
No, I mean, if he would have been a better caller, he would have used that turn of phrase.
Tom, quit insulting the voicemailers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Rob Ruddle. Canadians. Yeah, you Canadians.
He's probably French-Canadian, too.
Oh, they're the worst. You're not fucking French. You're Canadian.
You're Canadian.
Wow. You know, Simon will be very upset. You know, Simon, our buddy from Ontario that actually came down here. And
oh, the guy who drove down, yeah.
Yeah.
Just about what?
He's one of the good Canadians.
Very few.
Yeah,
One of about 11.
One of them.
There's probably 11.
You got Dave Foley. You got Michael J. Fox. You got Gordon Lightfoot.
Peter Jennings.
Pam Anderson. Lightfoot.
Gordon Lightfoot. You know? That's I can count him on my
Neil
hands
Young.
And feet.
Neil
I'm Young, thinking Canadians.
Come on, yeah, Neil Young. Absolutely, we'll give it to Neil Young.
All right. Well, guys, that'll take care of her.
No, I would give her a Mitch. That's where I draw the line.
Pam Anderson?
She had the gall to redo a Beatles song.
Who was that?
Anne Murray. She did You Won't See Me. It was terrible.
Screw that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Ooh. It is time for Top of the Stack. That's right. It's time for Top of the Stack. Our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week. Who wants to go first?
I will go first, as always.
I know you do.
This was an extremely...
Love stinks! Oh, sorry.
This was an extremely light week for me.
Me too.
It was like 6 books. The book I picked, I actually had a hard time picking what book I was going to pick because I enjoyed Green Lantern a lot and I enjoyed 52 a lot. But, the book that I enjoyed probably the most, but I also feel sort of weirdly bad about recommending the most, is Fables number 59, because this may be the worst book of all time to pick up if you haven't read any previous issue. Because it's 59, it's specifically designed around the fact of people writing in questions that they've had about previous issues. And it's sort of Bill Willingham and a bunch of different artists and their takes on the answers to all these different questions.
Oh, that was the question. Oh, that's great.
And it's a lot of fun if you've read all the previous issues, and I've enjoyed them a lot. But if you've never read any previous issue,
it's a lot of inside jokes that
you won't get. But I did enjoy this the most of any book I read this week. And I think the cool thing is sort of similar to 1001 Nights of Snowfall.
Yes.
You have a bunch of different artists and their takes on different characters. And Willingham actually does a pretty good job a couple of times of tying different questions in together. You know, tying in what's Blue Boy's favorite, you know, what song and what song did.
Blue Boy.
And
Blue Ball.
And
one is Thomas Gainsborough, one is.
Yeah, and what was the song that Bigby danced with Snow White at the ball team?
Oh.
And finding a way of tying those things together.
What was that song?
And like finding how to do
Iron Man.
Well, that's what I liked about
song.
Yeah. That's what I liked about 1001 Nights of Snowfall is that while it was a sort of standalone independent stories, you also found out a bunch of sort of, you know, backstory on a lot of these characters and
Absolutely.
Stuff, which I thought was really cool.
I think it was just cool. I look at it sort of as like a thank you to the fandom that sort of carried Fables on. I don't think you'd see a lot of books that would devote an entire issue to the fans.
Yeah, that book is, I don't want to call it an oddity, but it has such a devout readership that, I mean, Fables fans, it's like...
Small readership, but...
But
intensely loyal. Yeah. Intensely loyal.
Sure. And I think Willingham loves that. He loves that. There are... Tom, you're our numbers guy.
He would hate to sell 100,000 of that.
Above 20,000.
Is it about 20? That actually surprises me, but that's great. But I'm sure that...
For a Vertigo book, that's excellent.
Yeah, I'm sure that Willingham loves all 20,000 of those readers, we're all... a part of.
What's percolating in the background and has been for the last year or two has been a TV show in development for Fables, and it wouldn't and especially with the success of Heroes now, I bet you Fables is going to be fast tracked pretty soon.
On network though.
Well, I hope it's an HBO show,
at least FX. At least do it on FX.
Well, that's a possibility because I've heard that it was Universal that is sniffing around it, and that would lend itself to the Sci-Fi Channel. Or a cable channel like the way Galactica is being presented now, where you'll get a good edgy show that doesn't have to be on HBO or Showtime.
Right. I don't think Fables would have to be on HBO or Showtime, but I think it would have to be edgier than 7 o'clock.
But would a Galactica sensibilities kind of show?
Yeah,
I think I just love the fact that there's such a singularity to the vision that Willingham comes up with jokes. For how people ask. Certain questions lead to serious answers, and certain questions lead to very obvious joke answers. And it's all dealt with in one issue, and it's very funny, but it's also very respectful of the fandom of the book. It's all very,
That's like what All My Children does every year. And I don't know how much you guys know about soap operas, but they do. They do a fan letter wish fulfillment show, and it's always funny. And it absolutely is a Valentine to their fans, and it really gives the actors a chance to cut loose and do something fun. Not at all. It's it's played for laughs, but it's absolutely like you wanted to see it.
Is it in continuity?
No, and that's the great. I mean, literally, Erica will be up on the altar with seven of her former husbands and things like that. It's funny as hell. And no, I think that's what it reminded me of when he did this.
I think it's great. We've ever picked Fables previously, but it's one of my favorite.
I did the
books.
The.
1001. Yeah, I remember you doing that. Again.
Maybe early episodes. Yeah. I think we talked about
it. It's a great book. I mean, there's no question.
It's always it's so solid.
I was just going to say that. It's such a solid.
It lends itself to the trade very well, even though I've continued to get it in the single issues because I enjoy it so much.
And I love the James Jean covers.
Yeah.
He's amazing. Yeah, absolutely. Won the Eisner last year for his covers.
Fantastic covers.
Well deserved. He and Bradstreet do my favorite ones.
Yep.
So. Then following a little Fables up with some Punisher Max.
Punisher Max.
Mr. Centris, what is your top of the stack?
I am so delighted to have found a Virgin comic that I really enjoy and went into this very excited. Guy Ritchie's Gamekeeper that is actually being written by Andy Diggle and Mukesh Sin is the artist and does not only the art but also the color on this beautifully painted book. And
it's amazing.
It really is. It's a great suspense story. I think it's very unconventional in both its art and its storytelling, and I think it calls on Andy Diggle's skill that we saw in books like The Losers, and it seems like he is more comfortable and took this assignment because it was a non-tights, a non-superhero or fantasy story. It was a very much a realistic story. And it's a departure from what I've seen so far from Virgin, having its Eastern mythology background. This is about a Chechen rebel and a Scottish landowner who have some sort of secret and are kind of checked out of society from some bad issue that happened in their past. And of course, men with guns show up on the farmland to suck these guys back into the violent world they were in. But it's not really Punisher-esque in any way, and I don't really see the Ritchie influence. I have to be honest in the book, but that's okay because for me, Andy Diggle really is one of the best writers out there, Vertigo kind of style writers that I think has proven himself both with his superhero work and his action. And I don't know if you can call this noir. I think more of a suspense story, but I just love it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a thriller, suspense thriller kind of
But yeah, I mean, you know, it's got a great John Cassidy cover. Also, Greg Horn does the alternate cover, and I just think it was really well written, a great start, and again, so vividly drawn and painted that I think it's on my my stack, and this is the sort of thing I'd normally wait for on the trade, but I really enjoyed it, and I'll be back for the next issue.
Well, I was telling you earlier I had read it, and initially I was like, I kind of thought I saw where it was going, you know, in the beginning. And I was pleasantly surprised that it wasn't as conventional as initially I thought it was going to be.
Are you reading Seven Brothers?
I have not. I have not read that.
That didn't appeal to me, and I got to be honest, a lot of the ones, again, that have this Eastern mythology, in fact, Mark and I from Dark Towers were talking while you guys were recording the Thursday show, and we mentioned the Virgin preview that came out last year at San Diego.
Uh-huh.
And I was literally underwhelmed by it because it was really just very heavy into the mythology. And yeah, it just didn't, there didn't seem to be that much interesting. When I heard that Guy Ritchie got, and they got not only Guy Ritchie, but Andy Diggle to be involved in this thing, that certainly piqued my interest. I think Guy Ritchie's films were great, other than that one that he made with Madonna, other than Swept Away. And
Lock, Sock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch are both great bands.
They're outstanding.
Two of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah, they're great, and they made Jason Statham a star. And I could see Jason Statham playing this Chechnyan, quite frankly.
What do you like, Snatch or Lock, Stock?
Lock, Stock for me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I love
certain
Snatch.
Charm to that.
I love Snatch.
Who doesn't love it? Who doesn't love Snatch?
It's the difference of Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction is Lock, Stock and Snatch.
Yeah, I think Snatch is a great comedy, and I think Lock, Stock is a very cool movie that just has a lot of comedic things in it.
Absolutely.
But I think Snatch has played much more for laughs, and they're both in my DVD collection, and I go to them both with frequency.
And
I even love
soundtracks are amazing.
Guy Ritchie's BMW short.
Stooges, won't be your dog.
Oh yeah, but Ritchie did that BMW short with Clive Owen and Madonna as well, and it's very funny. So no, I don't see the Ritchie influence in this, but
I was kind of waiting for that. I was kind of waiting to see where's the Ritchie
where really I think if there is a comic that is akin to a Guy Ritchie experience, it's The Boys. I think Ennis is The Boys plays a lot like a Guy Ritchie movie.
Closer to, sure.
Especially when Huey has his first moment with that girl that he's in love with, and it is this gorgeous romantic moment that immediately is thrown, taken away from him. I won't spoil for people who haven't read it.
Yeah, certainly.
But that to me felt more like a Guy Ritchie thing.
I could see that.
So.
But I did like it. I did like The Gamekeeper. I'm interested to see where it goes. And the art was striking. The one scene of, and I don't know why it stuck out to me so much, but where he sneaks up on one of these soldiers and slits his throat, and it was just sort of like a spray of blood. It was in the house. And it was just the coloring of it was amazing,
cool against warm color.
Yeah, and it just really, really a lot of the art, and it was fantastic.
Mukesh Singh is also doing Devi for a version, which is more of that Eastern mythology that we were talking about, but it is kind of that same palette as far as the colors and stuff. I like it. It also reminds me of Dan Brereton's choices sometimes for colors.
Sure.
Very vivid and interesting ideas. I'd say if you're a fan of The Losers, you're going to find a lot of the same kind of stuff that you enjoyed in Gamekeeper.
Nice. I'll tell you, I'll go next and let Sal finish up. I hate Tom for making me love DC. So I was in my nice little comfortable
Marvel bubble.
And now I'm starting to get into all. Here comes Tom.
Oh, Secret Six.
I was just saying how much I hated you for
getting you into that.
Yeah, for making
don't
me
hate.
Making me.
Don't be a
don't
hater.
Don't hate the player. Hate
That's
the
right.
game.
As Tom said, it was a pretty light week for us comic wise.
Yeah.
But there was a very cool trade that came out this week, and that was Secret Six. Volume 1. I don't even know if it's Volume 1. It's 6 degrees of devastation.
Yeah, only other story was Villains United is the original story that put these Secret Six together.
Is this an ongoing? Is Secret Six?
No, however,
what?
If you do miss the Secret Six, by all means pick up Birds of Prey 104 because, they are involved in the current arc, and it was something that Gail has been kind of kept in her back pocket for months because everyone has. I think Villains United was the most popular of
all
the miniseries.
Villains United was great.
In the Infinite Crisis group of books. That's why Secret Six came back as a miniseries, and I think DC is very
smart. I think you'll see it again.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a recurring miniseries of when Gale has time to do it, then I think you'll see them, because everyone loves these characters.
Six with Villains United, and definitely start with Villains United, because it's the whole setup of
I guess the
original Secret Six. Well, for Villains United, was there a Secret Six?
Oh yeah, old 60s Secret Six.
Yeah, from the Silver Age. Yeah.
That's what I figured. But it's Catman, Ragdoll, Deadshot, Scandal, Savage, Cheshire, and
who's the Apocalypse?
There was Parademon.
Parademon.
Well, Parademon. Yeah, and I guess in the current Birds of Prey story, it's
Knockout.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we're villains.
Did you mention the Hatter?
Well, yeah, the Hatter. So I mean, you've got like what, seven that have been in the Secret Six, but there's one keeps getting off. And
right.
Which I don't want to ruin Villains United if you haven't read it, and that's of the entire Crisis lead-in minis. It was my favorite.
Oh, absolutely.
So definitely go back and read it. But this follow-up, the Secret Six miniseries, which I'm now bummed because I thought maybe it was an ongoing, because I want to read the next issue.
Well,
really, that's
what I'm saying. If you
pick
want
up Birds of Prey 104.
Yeah, pick up 104 because it's going on right now and you'll enjoy
and
it.
Write DC Comics, telling them you want more Secret Six.
I guarantee you, during the con season, everyone asks Gale and DiDio, what's up with Secret Six? Why isn't this an ongoing? I think they're smart because I think keeping it a miniseries is going to make it a fun event every time
almost
it happens.
I could see it getting tired. I could see that those cast of characters. Yeah.
Look at how fun Thunderbolts was to start with and then kind of fell into a rut. And I think in a lot of ways, this is the Thunderbolts.
You can always inject it with a new villain. You can always add one more weird villain.
That seems to be what they do. It's like, you know, they keep knocking it back to five, you know, and they have to find the new
Mad Hatter. That's a good hat.
Oh, my God.
That's a good hat. If you enjoy rooting for the bad guy from time to time, this is your book. The characters that you never know if they're going to do the right thing or the wrong thing.
This is
your book.
Before Gail Simone, Catman was fat and a joke and ridiculous.
Meltzer made him a big fat asshole.
Exactly, and Gail got him on Slim Fest and, you know, pumped him up with steroids, and now when he's not wearing his costume, he's Kazar.
Yeah.
And when he is wearing his costume, he's a pretty good Batman light. And I think even Talia, you know, was like, man, I like this guy. You know, which is kind of a great little nod. And it's great action. It's great humor. It's great kind of a caper and that kind of espionage thing that Gale does.
Yeah, it's almost like every good heist film that you've seen.
With fucking crazy C-list villains.
Yeah. And sick fun humor. So Secret Six is a fun, smart book.
Yeah, it's the Usual Suspects cast with C-level supervillains. Yeah, I think you're right.
And I feel like I'm cheating on Greg Rucka because I keep talking about Gail Simone books. But if you're looking for fun, smart books, look up a Gail Simone book.
There'll be another issue of Checkmate.
I know.
And definitely check out the Villains United trade
before
it was
before
fantastic.
You do this one.
It was really good.
Yep.
Right. Sal?
Mine is a book I've never read before. It's JSA Classified, number 24. I just picked up on a whim because it was...
JSA.
Sorry, JSA Classified, number 24. It was featuring Dr. Midnight, which is one of my favorite JSA characters. So I figured, what the heck.
You like Peter Cross.
Yeah, he's just a cool character. I don't know. Something about
him. No, that's cool. I was always a Chuck McNider fan.
Yeah.
The original Dr. Midnight.
I'm a big Dr. Midnight 2 fan. The female black.
You see, I didn't care for her, and really that's why I don't like Rex so much. I think because when they showed up in Infinity Inc. back in the 80s,
John,
I'm like, I like
shelve
the old
your
men.
Problems. Let Sal talk about the book.
Don't worry about me, assholes. Anyway,
but no, this is I want to know about this.
I just really enjoyed the art was very good. It was. Let me say who it is. It's J.T. Krul, K-R-U-L, wrote it. Alex Sanchez on art and Jack Purcell, I think, did the colors. Jack Purcell was the inker. I'm sorry. The art was really good. It kind of reminded me of a cross between maybe kind of Scott Colin's, but better because I'm not a big Scott Collins fan.
Okay.
With some Frank Quietly thrown in there and maybe...
I see Doug Mankey.
Yeah, that's who I was trying to think of. Yeah. Doug Mankey. Absolutely. Oh, sure. I love absolutely. Doug Mankey. Yeah. Art was fantastic. The story is what I really liked about it, though, because it was... It reminded me of like a really good one-shot either Batman story or like a Daredevil, older Daredevil story where it was this mystery and...
Is it a medical mystery?
Well, it's not a medical mystery, but it's a scientific mystery. I guess, yeah, somewhat it is a medical mystery. Basically, he runs into this character that proclaims he is a vampire.
Okay.
And in his heart, Dr. Midnight doesn't believe him, and he knows... He's not a vampire, but he has to prove it almost more to himself than to anyone else. There's no reason for him to be doing it other than he seems to have to prove that this guy is not a vampire, that somehow, medically, scientifically, he can solve this mystery.
Which fits that character very well.
Yeah. And
yes, that's you're right.
And he kind of struggles with it in the beginning because he's doubting himself. And there's a great scene with Mr. Terrific in there where he kind of... reminds him to always, you know, lean on the science, to always, you know, go with...
Mr. Terrific, my favorite atheist in DC Comics universe.
Well, and also those two characters, I think, have been used by Johns and everyone, and also Brad Meltzer, to great effect as the scientific wing of the superhero society.
Absolutely.
Saying, let's prove this, because their autopsy of Sue Dibney, for example.
Mr. Terrific doesn't even believe the Spectre is actually a ghost.
There you go.
Which I think is one of my favorite things that doesn't get explored enough, is Mr. Terrific doesn't believe the Spectre is real.
But
Peter Cross has been a very interesting character. I mean, he had his little affair with Black Canary a few years ago, and I think it's somebody that's... They hadn't really found a forum for him to be his own man.
And
I think
here I thought they did a really good job of finally writing a good solo story. I could actually see this as like a miniseries, or I mean, it was a one and done story, but in the end, it left it a little ambiguous. But what I really enjoyed about it is it wasn't like this. There was some action in it, and you know, but he even the first line in it is, "I am not a superhero. I'm a doctor, a surgeon," and that was sort of the whole theme of it was. You know, it was a logical story for this character to sort of be outside of the JSA and doing some sort of adventuring on his own. But it wasn't like this convoluted or just contrived, you know, action story that happens outside of main continuity. It was like this made sense that he was doing this under his own passion because he had to prove it to himself. He had to prove that this vampire does not exist. This man is not a vampire. There's some, and it actually was interesting as it went on. There was a link between this vampire and Dr. Midnight's own history.
Oh, cool.
As far as the drug that blinded Peter Cross.
Oh, wow.
So, and that played into the ending, which, in the end, he believes he has the solution, but it's left sort of open-ended with, you're not quite sure if this guy is a vampire or he isn't a vampire, and you could see maybe another story in the future of this same character coming back.
I think JSA Classified is a great DC book.
I mean, comparing it to the JLA Classified, JLA Classified hasn't been quite as solid, because I think the JSA Classified is really taking to heart the idea of embracing a certain character and really showcasing
it.
They've done a couple of Dr. Midnight stories. And there's a Wildcat by
coming
Frank
up.
Terry coming up, which I'm really looking forward to. But I think the JSA Classified's really
hit the ground running. That Power Girl series was excellent. I think every miniseries that has been in JSA, including the JLA Detroit story that they kind of, you know, crossed over with that Steve Englehart wrote, I think they've been the more entertaining stories. And I agree. I think Justice League Classified has...
stumbled.
Well, yeah, because they're really focusing on the team, and I think I'm surprised that they are not also focusing on individual JLA members.
I want a three-part vibe story.
You're on your own there.
You would.
You're the only one.
Where's my three-part vibe story?
All right, guys, that's going to take care of our top of the stack. You guys could... Five hours from now, you guys are talking about Mr. Mind. And
I love Mr. Mind.
See?
Mr. Mind's a great character.
I would love a great Mr. Mind miniseries.
The only vibe we're the only person well, I tell you what, stop wait, Mr. Mime.
We that's love the listener email. You, oh, can, God. You can email us at info@aroundcomics. Heck, you can info Tom at aroundcomics or Sal at Sal@aroundcomics or me
send
at Chris
me an email
at aroundcomics.
You can't email Mark at aroundcomics.
Or John at aroundcomics.
Thank God. But you can email John at what?
John at wordballoon.com.
John at wordballoon.com.
I email him all the time.
Actually, yes. Caters and I were having a very nice conversation this
week. Well, we did get an email from Mr. Rob Ruddle. Sal, what did Rob have to say?
He said, I was listening to your recent New York Con follow-up episode and heard the story about talking to Gail Simone, Chris Claremont, and Michael Golden, and I wanted to share a moment I had a few years back at WonderCon. I love Terry Moore and Strangers in Paradise, and I went to a panel where Moore was going to speak with Will Eisner. I arrived early so I could get a front row seat. I was sitting there minding my own business, watching the previous panel wrap up, and then Terry Moore came in and sat down next to me. A moment later, Will Eisner walked in and sat down on the other side of me. Eisner and Moore were chatting quietly as I sat between them. A moment later, Frank Miller came in and sat next to Eisner and introduced himself to Moore, and I just sat and smiled at this strange and wonderful moment I was witnessing. I think I said something as a part of this conversation, but I don't remember what it was. I wish I had a photo of that moment. Yeah,
that's
I mean,
why you go to cons.
Yeah, that's what the
I just
cool thing.
One out that story.
That is the cool thing about cons is you never know. I mean, I have my own, you know, what I consider great con stories. I'm sure everybody else finds them boring, but yeah, I mean, if you're into
that's
meeting creators and there's no other better place to do it. Yep. So
it's you
I'm gonna be at Heroes Con.
No, and by the way,
are
Wonder,
you going for
WonderCon
sure?
because of its proximity to the New York Con of late, and I guess that's gonna change next year. Mm-hmm. Has been this like really cool but quiet show that the creators are happy to be there, the attendees are happy to be there, but because it was so close to New York, the last couple of years there wasn't a big output of fans, and you got these very intimate moments with creators that you just don't get at New York or San Diego. As much as fun it is to see these big names, and sometimes Chicago too, it's the smaller cons where you really do get a chance to get to know these guys. And that would even include things like Motor City Con in Mid-Ohio. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these. And WonderCon it's funny because San Francisco is a huge market, but again, because of its proximity to some of these other shows, it's not as big of a con. So I would recommend that.
I keep hearing what a huge comic book market San Francisco is.
I believe that.
You know, tons of shops. It just seems to be an area that really embraces comics.
No, sorry, I was laughing about something else.
I was going to say Larry Young is based, you know, AIT Planet Lair is based out there, and I think, well, you know, it's always been an independent art city, San Francisco.
Well, you always hear about Isotope, the
James Symes show or
which
store
is kind of
he's
renowned as one of the great comic shops in the country.
Oh, and it's great because if you know James will have like a happening at his store. And he has a webcam, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, the iFanboy guys had a party. Thing. Yeah.
And they're, he's amazing. And, yeah, it's that just that
are
great
you gonna
vibe.
Are you going to be at Heroes Con, John?
I don't know if I'm
going to be. I'm going just to go to a convention.
That's cool. Are the other boys?
I don't think I am going to. There's a chance, but I don't.
It's the end of May, right? It is the end of May.
It's in June.
No, it's
June.
In June.
Oh,
it's like
the end
June
of May
15th or something like that? Yeah, 15th, 16th, and 17th?
I might. It depends. Probably not, just because I'm probably focused more on San Diego, just because, you know.
I'm going to be at Heroes, because I just want to go to a con in June, and I'll have a lot of money saved up from
that's cool.
Working
well,
900 hours a week.
Fucking ridiculous.
Well, now, you know, I really hope that after this year, which really I did have to kind of pull back from my cons and stuff, I'm hoping in 2008 I'll get back up again.
I'll email them.
You should.
You can email them.
Because they're going to
Ron. We'll get back in touch with
you. Of course they will.
Ron and I can talk about Morrissey.
So, you know,
you enjoy talking about Morrissey.
So, folks, we love the voicemails. We love the emails. Keep them coming.
We love the rock and roll.
We love the
rock
and roll. Absolutely.
Morrissey is
nice. We also love it whenever you can help spread the Around Comics love. You can do that a few different ways. You can take us up on our Listener LCS Challenge. Just download that flyer at the homepage and ask your local comic shop owner or manager if they'll put that up in the store. Haven't had anyone do that or at least tell us about that. So
Just tell us.
Yeah, just
lie.
Yeah, lie. You can just fucking lie. Yeah, we're not going to check it.
We'll, yeah.
Make
not,
up a story.
It's not like we're going to send Tom out there.
I will send you a quarter book if you make up the funniest fake story.
Fortress of Solitude. Oh, yeah. In, Streeter.
Speaking of here's a quarter book for you, John.
Speaking of sending stuff out, I wanted to say to... there were a couple of guys that won the trivia contest months ago.
Did I beat? I finally sent out the Watchmen thing this
week. Oh, did you? You beat me then? Yeah, because I'm sending them out tomorrow. I got them all.
But I have to say this, Tim Silver. I know you listened because you said you didn't own any copy of Watchmen, and I sent you my paperback version. You said you'd send it back. I haven't heard from you.
Actually, Bam, on the forum, I still have to send you my Queen and Country trades and Watchmen single issues. I promise I'm going to do
Jesus
it
Jesus Christ. If we,
if my aunt is listening, I'm going to come over for dinner on Thursday night.
And, I've been sweating.
You know
what?
A contest. I just told her in New York.
I've been emailing Matt back and forth because I wanted Matthew Johnson not to know that I forgot about him. Because I was like, listen, I'm just trying to get everything together. And I included the black coat trade.
No, very nice.
It's like I threw in something. Yeah, I was like, I have all the issues. I got the trade. I'll give it to you.
So there you go.
But hey, Matt, you should have this by now. If you don't, blame your local postal service. I sent it priority.
Well, Matt, if you're not already our friend at comicspace.com, and once you get that Absolute Watchman, you might want to do that. You can do that at comicspace.com/aroundcomics. You can also become our friend at myspace.com/aroundcomics and do my personal favorite, the iTunes music review.
As cool as Edison Jones.
Absolutely. We have one frapper person, but we're going to unveil
gonna
that next week.
We're going to shun them.
So join the frapper map if you would like. You can check out all the great things that AroundComics.com has to offer.
Oh, I'm supposed to read this.
I know. Sal's right giving now. Me the hurry up sign. So.
Well, proud members of
hey,
the
longer you take,
podcast
the more I have
well.
To cut out. So,
the find more of John great podcasts at comicspodcast.com.
Well, then let's wrap it up.
And just so everyone's aware, they post the next week's topic on Tuesdays at their forum at aroundcomics.com.
Next week, look forward to Richard Starkings from
Elephant
Men. Hip Flask, Elephant Men, and Comic Craft.
And the great company Comic Craft that makes a lot of beautiful books.
Anything that looks good, he's doing.
Pretty much.
Go!
And thank you to Borders. Borders has thousands of manga and graphic novels. In fact, you'll find exactly what you're looking for and discover unexpected new authors and series simply by visiting Borders. Save on your favorite graphic novels, manga, and more. Click on the Borders banner on the Around Comics website for a 20% off coupon. Check Borders first. Find a store near you at www.borderstores.com or use the Borders store locator at aroundcomics.com.
We are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life.
Offensive essentials.
And an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809 and tell Tom's girlfriend to stop calling the show.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Chris, Tom, John,
thanks,
Mark.
Buddy. Rocky Five.
Thanks to Mark and Dark Tower for hosting us as always. Everyone have a fantastic week. We'll be back again on Thursday with
another
guys from White Picket Fences.
iFanboy.
We talked to them and
multiple other people.
Yeah, I don't know who all we talked to.
A ton of folks.
But we'll be talking about what makes a good LCS.
And in the meantime,
in between time,
we'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
I'm talking to my girlfriend on the phone.
you'd like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same, bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, babe. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my left alone? I know that you don't love me. Oh, baby. Baby, love you one more time.